Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming today. My name is Deborah Tyra, and I'm with the Daniel K. Noe College of Pharmacy at the University of Hawaii. And my talk today is called Giving Providers Access to Formulary Drug Cost Information, Association with Patients' Drug Costs and Medication Use. I don't have any disclosures, neither do my co-authors. My co-investigators on the study included Dr. Chen-Wen Tseng, who's a family practitioner, and she's actually PI on the project and the lead author. She was just unable to make it here today. Grace Lin, who's a physician from UCSF, James Davis, who's a biostatistician at University of Hawaii, Ginos Yazdani, who's a physician at UCSF, Kimehe, who's a statistician at Pacific Health Research and Education Institute, Allison Imamura from UCLA, Chen Randy from Pacific Health Research and Education Institute, and Adam Steadley, who's a physician at UCSF. Accessing formulary and drug cost information is often difficult for providers, and this is due in part to multiple health plans. A survey at Hawaii by Dr. Tseng showed that 7 in 10 physicians dealt with 6 or more health plans, and in Hawaii that tends to be lower than in most other places. And as we know, formularies vary. A drug may be covered for one patient but not the next. And drug benefits often have 5 or even more tiers of cost sharing. And even e-prescribing sometimes lacks formulary and drug cost information. So what we did was we put together a prescribing guide. This was a statewide intervention to help providers access formulary and drug cost information. We had information for 6 commercial and Medicaid health plans. And this is what it looked like. It was a website, and physicians were able to go on this website, and it summarized formulary coverage for the health plans and for some common drug classes. And this was updated monthly by some of our College of Pharmacy students and faculty. And these were the 16 health conditions that were included: allergy, birth control, diabetes, insomnia, antibiotics, cholesterol, ear, migraine, anticoagulants, depression, heartburn, psychotics, asthma, dermatology, hypertension, and smoking cessation. And this is a typical example. So for instance, for diabetes, you can see first we had metformin, which is the generic version. And it would give you the cost if you were just to buy it retail. So if you were to go to Costco, $7 for 30 pills. And this would be an average, what the price is in Hawaii. Walmart was $4. It tells you that it's generic. Aloha Care is one of the Medicaid plans, so the copayment for all the Medicaid plans is actually zero, and that would include Aloha Care, HMSA Quest, Ohana Care. HMSA is actually Blue Cross Blue Shield of Hawaii, and this shows you for CVS state employees, they have $5 to $10 copay, same with HMSA, which is again Blue Cross, and United Healthcare, Evercare had a $0 copay. So that's, again, for generic metformin. If you look at something like Byetta, the retail cost, and this would be for somebody just paying out of pocket, would be $474. It's a brand name drug. For the Medicaid plans, they need prior authorization, but there would be no copayment if they got prior authorization. The CVS state employees paid $30, enrollees would pay $15 to $20. So as you can see, brand name drugs have a lot more variation in the cost by health plan than the generic drug. In addition, there's links to the formularies for each health plan. And this is partly provided because, as you could tell from before, not all drug classes are included in the prescribing guide. But when you click on here, all these formulary links, that would give you the complete formulary link, let's say, for HMSA. so you'd be able to see every drug and where it comes in on the formulary. The other advantage is that while the prescriber guide is updated monthly, if there was a letter update that we didn't include, you could go to the guide and it would, of course, I mean the health plan formulary, and it would be possibly more recently updated. In terms of dissemination, so we mailed information about the prescribing guide to all adult primary care physicians in Hawaii, and 56% enrolled for updates in the website link. So they had to contact us back and say that they wanted to get the link, and then we sent it to them. And we did a survey at 1 year, at baseline and at 1 year, and we found that the percent who checked the formularies increased from 34% to 67%, and the percent that reported that they knew drug costs increased from 11% to 29%. And we found that the website cost less than $5,000 per year to maintain. So our study objective was to look at how does the physician's use of the prescribing guide affect drug cost and medication use for patients. Our two aims were to compare changes in medication use from 2007 to 2009 for control versus study patients, and to compare changes in medication costs. So medication use and medication cost changes. And we collaborated with Hawaii's largest health plan, which is HMSA, or Blue Cross Blue Shield of Hawaii, which covers about 70% of Hawaii residents. In terms of study design, we used enrollment data from HMSA and pharmacy claims. ICD-9 codes were used to identify members with diabetes. That was actually done separately by the health plan according to their disease management program for diabetes. Patients were eligible if they were enrolled for 320 days in both 2007 and 2009, age 18 to 64, and not Medicaid or Medicare, because we had data from this private health plan for the study. And what we needed to do was link each patient to a physician, because it was the physician that was either using the prescribing guide or not using it. So what we did was we came up with, for each patient, what we called their main prescriber, which was simply the physician who prescribed the greatest number of prescriptions for that patient in that year. Physicians were eligible if they were general internists, family physicians, general practitioners, endocrinologists, or cardiologists. And to be included in the study, patients had to be linked to the same main prescriber in both years. So you were considered a control patient if your main prescriber did not enroll to receive the prescribing guide, and you were considered a study patient if the main prescriber had voluntarily enrolled to receive the prescribing guide. We looked at medication use and cost. Medication use was defined as the number of prescriptions or the days of supply of medications. Medication cost was total drug cost that included that paid by the plan and the patient per year and also per 30-day supply. And we also looked at patient copayments per year and per 30-day supply. We calculated the cost and the utilization for all drugs, including non-diabetes medication. As I mentioned before, all the patients had diabetes. And we looked separately at brand versus generic drugs. We ran some multivariate analysis. The main outcomes were changes in medication use and drug costs. The main predictor was the use of the prescribing guide by the physician. And we controlled for a physician's specialty and the clustering of patients by the main prescriber. And again, this was just the criteria we had, that they had to be enrolled more than 320 days. They had to have had at least one oral diabetes medication and between the ages of 21 and 64. And the physician had to be their main prescriber. So when we looked at each year, we ended up with 327 physicians who qualified as the main prescriber. But then when we limited it to both 2007 and 2009, we ended up with 5,883 patients who met the criteria in both years, meaning they had to be enrolled and have at least one prescription, and 299 physicians that were the main prescribers. So of these 5,883 patients, we had 433,000 prescriptions, 15.3 million days supply, $42.7 million in total drug costs, and $5.96 million in out-of-pocket drug costs. The linkage to the main prescriber we found was pretty tight in our population. So that main prescriber, those 299 physicians, prescribed 88% of prescriptions for their patients, 90% of day's supply, 89% of total drug costs, and 88% of co-payment costs. 69% were internists, 17% were family practitioners, 8% were endocrinologists, 5% were general practitioners, and 1% were cardiologists. This is just baseline, and there weren't many differences between groups. The main difference was at baseline, the control used less generic drugs. Then this is our follow-up drug cost summary and use summary. As you can see at follow-up, there were a lot more significant differences, particularly in brand name drug use. The controls still use fewer generic drugs, but the controls now also had higher brand name drug use than study participants. They had a higher number of brand name prescriptions and day supply. But our main results were looking at the change in medication use and drug costs. And that's what this is showing you. So as you can see, if you look at medication use, for both groups, use increased, and there were actually not significant differences in changes in use. So both groups had an increase in use, and it wasn't statistically significant. However, if you look at drug cost differences, we saw significant differences. So the change in drug cost was $584 for the study group, compared to $792 for the control group. And there were similar differences if you looked at cost per day's supply. We saw differences across brand name drugs as well as across generic drugs. However, if you look at the copayments, they did not differ significantly. The change in copayments did not differ significantly between groups. So both groups had similar increases in medication use. Total drug costs and copayments increased for both, but control patients had higher increases in annual total drug costs. And it was driven by cost increases for both brand and generic drugs. Copayment differences were similar, as I said before. There were higher drug costs per 30-day supply, greater increases for controls, but similar increases in brand name and generic drug use. Therefore, it didn't seem like it was due to switching from brand to generic or non-preferred to preferred. It's likely due to the higher cost brand name and generic drugs for control patients. So they were just using brand name drugs that were more expensive. And this may be because the prescribing guide highlighted drugs and treatment class which were widely covered by all six health plans. So in the prescribing guide, it actually had highlighted in yellow drugs that are most frequently used. And this may have been because they were less expensive and therefore more frequently used, and maybe the providers using the guide were more likely to use them. So summary, there were no changes in medication use, no changes in copays, but lower drug costs for health plans. In terms of health policy, the prescribing guide was easy to develop and fairly low cost to maintain, particularly with the participation of our PharmD students to help update it. It was free, no proprietary software user licenses were required, and we were able to integrate formulary and drug cost information. A couple of other studies had actually found even more significant cost savings from similar types of integrated formulary support. The limitations of our study is that it wasn't a randomized controlled trial. We did not control for patient characteristics, and we relied on patient providers' self-reported use. And this is just an acknowledgement of the funders for the study. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have about 5 minutes for questions, and I'll just say one quick thing. I did was one of a couple of authors who did a systematic review of the literature on physicians' knowledge of drug costs. This was published about 6 or 7 years ago. And what we found was that absolute costs, doctors had virtually no knowledge. Relative costs, between different groups of different drugs that could be used to treat the same condition. Doctors had absolutely no knowledge. And what was even more interesting was that the lower the drug cost, the higher doctors thought it was, and the higher it was, the lower they thought it was. So they had, if they were trying to figure out what the difference was, they would, their perception of the difference was much smaller than it actually was. So this is a good project in my view. Okay, let's open it up. Enrique?
In terms of the interaction with the pharmacist, did you see a reduction in the number of communications of the pharmacist with the doctor saying, for example, this patient has the medication and it is not covered by the formulary? And also, did you see a decrease in the number of prior authorizations while the doctors have access to this information?
That's actually a good question. We did not measure either of those things, unfortunately, in this study. We just had claims data for the evaluation, so unfortunately we didn't include those, but those would be very interesting for a follow-up study.
Yeah, because it could be also a reduction in cost.
Exactly, in terms of time and labor costs. Yeah, thank you. That's a good point.
Other questions? No? Going.
All right,
thanks very much.